Well, good evening. Good to see you all here tonight. Had to use my dad's normal greeting. I'm not my dad, but I am covering for him tonight for scripture memory number 12. I'll be learning two more verses this week, and I'll read a chapter out of the book that dad left for me, and we'll ask everybody in the room to say at least four verses. So be ready for that. Before we get started, though, go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Dear Father, I do thank you for this evening that you've given us and for this chance to study your word and to hide it within our heart. Thank you that we can hide your word in our heart, that we may not sin against you. Thank you for how precious your word is and that you even allow us to study it, that you allow us to understand. You give us the Holy Spirit so that we can understand it. Just thank you for all of these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. So let's start off with last week's verses. Who would like to say a verse from last week? Specifically, the hordes of little kids in the room, because we have so many here. Would Andreas like to say a verse? Go ahead. Good job. It's 1 Corinthians 2:12. All right. Now, would anyone like to say the other verse that we had from last week? Do you know it? Do you have a different verse you'd like to say? You want to? Go ahead. For VBS? Okay, that'll work. Go ahead. Fishers of Men. Good job. All right. Good to remember verses, whichever verses they may be. All right. Other than little kids in the room, would anyone else like to say the other verse from last week? Doug. It's 2 weeks ago, but still pretty good. Good job. You can clap for him too, right? All right. Fallon? We clap for you too. All right. So those are the two verses from last week. Anyone else have an earlier verse they'd like to say? Or if no one volunteers, yes? Through? Yes. Who was given to us. Yes. Love through the Holy Spirit. Good job. Andreas, you have another one? Good job. All right. Would anyone like to stand up and say all the verses? I threatened to make Chris do it, but he's kind of done it a couple weeks in a row. Would you like to do it, Chris? No? Okay, fine. Be a spoil sport. Excuse me. My voice has been kind of off and on all week. So, last call for anyone to say all the verses. Anyone? No? Okay. I'm not going to force anyone like Dad would. I will go ahead and read the chapter from the book. The book You Need to Memorize Scripture by N.A. Vojcik. This week's chapter, I read it earlier, and it appears to contradict the last week's chapter, which I find interesting. But it is chapter 12 on mnemonics. In the last 30 years or so, there's been a great deal said about mnemonics, particularly by secular writers. Basically, it refers to certain methods of memory enhancement, but nowhere had I seen any explanation as to what the word mnemonics means, or why it is being used in reference to memory methods. Did anyone know the word mnemonics before? I learned it a couple of years ago, actually, in Greek class, because it comes from the Greek, from specifically Mnemon, which was the surname for Artaxerxes II, who was the king of Persia. But basically, it is a tool for remembering things. And how I remembered it is it was given as a demonic, for the Greek word memeon, which means a tomb, which is a place where someone is remembered. And so I never use the word in English, ever, but I use it to remember my Greek words. Yeah. But the explanation is from Artaxerxes II. His name was Mnemon. It means mindful. From his youth to his old age, Mnemon never read anything without making some small points, dashes, or hooks in the margin to mark what parts of the discourse were desirable for remembering. When he came to the end of the section or chapter, he sought to recollect all the sentiments or expressions he had marked so he could give a tolerable analysis and abstract of the treatise he had just read. Through the years, his name has been used to describe similar markings and methods in the improvement of memory and recollection, specifically the system that he used to remember things. So much for the meaning of the word mnemonics. No one's going to remember that word on its own. Mnemonic devices depend upon the use of some method of coding that which is to be remembered. This may be useful in certain limited fields, especially if the coding is done by the person who will be using it. The use of mnemonics has declined steadily due to the inevitable complexity of the devices. In 1960, Mr. O.W. Hayes declared on the dust jacket of his book, Your Memory, in just 7 days, you too can become a memory wizard. About the same time, Mr. Harry Lorraine advertised his instant memory course on an LP recording. That was a while ago. Then there were the visual aids for memory instruction put out by Vicor Incorporated, whose services were used for a short time by schools and government agencies. However, it was soon abandoned, and its president, Mrs. Elsie Carlson, said that their system of mnemonics was as good as any there is, but it took more time for students to learn the system than it was worth. Probably the most ambitious undertaking in the realm of mental wizardry was that of Dr. Bruno First. It appeared on big-time TV shows and was written up in popular magazines. The course sold for $15.75, and basically it offered three systems. The first was the hook system, which begins by giving you a letter and a word for each figure up to 100. The second was the chain method, where you need not memorize a whole speech, but just a chain outline of keywords. The third was a classification system, where you organize what you wanted to remember into categories of things with similarities. Dr. First has written books on the subject, and some of them can still be found in libraries. In more recent years, much attention has been given to artificial memory code systems of associations. In 1976, thousands of people, ministers and laymen, flocked to seminars in Los Angeles and elsewhere where they hoped to learn a civil system of memory by association. The shortcut seekers were told that pictures are much easier to remember than words. They were shown a series of cartoon images symbolizing phrases and concepts to be remembered. One example featured an illustration of a dove pulling a cross which stood on a loaf of bread. The bread rested on an airplane. All of this was held up by Satan with horns and a forked tail, with a stone in each upraised hand. This, if you please, was to help you fasten in your memory the exact words of Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So you can use pictures or cartoons and illustrations, because we remember pictures much better than words. Pictures worth 1,000 words. What are the conclusions regarding the use of various memory improvement methods? Mrs. Carlson of Vicor's admitted that the artificial memory code systems got in the way of natural learning and real comprehension. The system involved not thinking and reasoning, but pure and simple memory. Professor of psychology at the University of Oregon said in mnemonic systems, they are not very useful except as parlor stunts. They had never been of any real practical help to me. I found myself better off not using them. Then he related a humorous association dilemma, which is not at all infrequent. I've got a mental picture of one man I met who had a nose of an odd shape. I visualized it with water running over it. To this day, I can't recall if he is Mr. Brooks, Mr. Rivers, or Mr. Trout. We know that realistic artwork does indeed illuminate a scripture text for a child who cannot yet read. Simple associations may afford some memory help, particularly with respect to remembering Bible references. Yet as a whole, we believe that the various memory improvement methods tend to obscure the meaning of the subject being learned and actually get in the way of natural memorization. Rather than taking time to develop all of the involved associations, it is better just to learn the verse by natural concentration and enjoy the subject matter while you're doing it. Strangely enough, Mr. Lorraine finally agreed that the extravagant memory methods were not profitable when he said, by using sneaky things in association, and encouraging people to believe that they can be mental wizards, and getting them to concentrate on these methods, I am forcing them to do what they should do in the first place so that they wouldn't need a memory system. We come back, therefore, to the simple conclusion that we assimilate the Word of God through the well-known mental exercise called concentration. You really cannot remember something unless you concentrate on it. In so doing, you try to block everything else out of your mind and set your full attention on the Word of the Lord. The mind either concentrates or wanders. Keeping the mind fixed on the sacred text pleases God, who commands us to lay up His words in our hearts, Job 22:22. It also honors the Holy Spirit, whose mission it is to bring God's word to our remembrance, John 14:26. Recently, I came across an interesting testimony of a serviceman who wrote me about the joy of learning the lessons each week. However, he continued, I must say that it was difficult at times to learn them. But if I would concentrate on what I was doing and follow the suggested plan of memorization, it was much easier than if I went about it half-heartedly. Not only have I added more words to my memory, but I have also used the lessons and explanations for devotions in our church. We are not attempting to condemn the use of mnemonics as such, but we are endeavoring to point out that simple concentration is preferable. Consider the blessing of memorizing Romans 15:13. It starts with now, as in not last week, but right now, not tomorrow, right now. The God of hope, God never gives up hope concerning a single one of his children, fills you with all joy and peace in believing. Things are not hopeless, they are hope-filled. Continue on with the verse. That you may abound in hope. What kind of hope is that? Why, it's like that of the God of hope. And you are enthralled by this hope, through the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. It is wonderful just to think upon the different words and phrases of Holy Writ, and meditate upon them. You are blessed in the very process of assimilating the words and thoughts that the living God has given us. Einstein is reported to have said meditatively, I want to know how God created the world. I want to know his thoughts. The rest are details. Why did not someone tell the intellectual giant in physics that God has revealed his thoughts recorded in a book called the Bible? Well, that was an interesting quote from Einstein. He wanted to know how the world was created. He just wanted to know God's thoughts on it. And yet we have the mind of Christ. We have the very thoughts recorded in Scripture. And as we are supposed to be learning, we're supposed to be hearing the word and taking it in. Especially when he was saying about concentrating and concentrating on the word, how we are meditating. And I love, my favorite chapter of the Bible, by the way, is Psalm 119. And it talks about over and over about meditating on the word of God. And he meditates it in the day, meditates on it in the night. And it's completely different from what the world's idea of meditation is. You know, the world's idea of meditating is emptying your mind of all thought and emotion, of achieving oneness with the universe and nothingness and not thinking at all. That is not what Scripture says about meditating. It's not about emptying your mind. It's about filling your mind with the Word. Not about emptying it and allowing other influences to get in, which is ultimately what happens in mysticism. But with filling your mind with Christ, filling your mind with Scripture, meditating, and that is truly where we achieve our oneness, not with the universe, but with Christ, as we allow our minds to be renewed. Think also of, again, as he talks about concentrating, taking thoughts captive. And we're taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ Jesus from 2 Corinthians there. So these are all good things to keep in mind as we do study Scripture. You can use associations. Just last week, the chapter was about methods and strategies to use in memorizing, and then this week says, don't use methods and strategies to memorize. But the point is to not get caught up in a gimmick in focusing too much on the tool. If it takes you too long to remember how you're remembering things, then it's not worth it. It's not profitable. The point is memorizing Scripture and understanding what you're reading. There is very, very little profit in memorizing words that you don't know what they mean. The point is to understand what the Scripture says, to believe it, and then you hide it in your heart, and that's when it becomes profitable for teaching, for instruction, for correction, for training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3. All right, so that was the chapter there. We can go ahead and move on to our verses for this week. Last week, this whole section is on the Holy Spirit. Last week we had the verses 1 Corinthians 2:12, and the tagline for that is helping you understand, as the Holy Spirit does help us to understand the things freely given to us by God. And excuse me. I'm recovering, by the way. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the Holy Spirit has fellowship with us. This week's verses, the first one is 1 Corinthians 3:16. And I can't put it on the screen, so if you have a Bible, let's go ahead and turn there to 1 Corinthians 3:16. And I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes remembering the reference is the hardest part. Since we have John 3:16 that pretty much everyone can remember, even that reference. Just remember, this one is 1 Corinthians 3:16. the first three verses of the Holy Spirit section are all in Corinthians, so maybe that helps you keep them in order, and it helps for me. But 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And again, I'm reading from the NASB. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Paul uses this phrase a lot. Do you not know? And I had intended to do a search to see how many times he does use it in the New Testament. But it's very emphatic. Do you not know? The imagery here is that you should know. This is like a parent telling a child, do you not know you're not supposed to do that? Do you not know you're not supposed to touch the stove? Touch the hot stove. Andreas, do you not know that? Good. Mateo, do you not know that? You're not supposed to touch a hot stove. Now, if it was one of your parents telling you that, wouldn't you feel like, oh, you know, I probably should know that because they've told me that 100 times? Yeah. But this is what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. Do you not know? They should know. And because they know that, they should be acting better. But do you not know that you are a temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Specifically talking about the things that happen to the body, and how our physical bodies become temples of the Holy Spirit as He lives inside of us. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit as believers. And because of that, there in the next verse, if any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. And so that's why sins against the body are so much more than other sins in a way. All sins are equal, that they are wrong, and yet sinning against the temple of the Holy Spirit has that much more weight to it. That's why we are not to destroy the temple of God. So do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And that's the Holy Spirit, as we would talk about all these verses with the Holy Spirit. That is our first verse of the week. Just remember how emphatic it is, and that'll probably help you remember. It does for me. Do you not know? You should know. Do you not know? 1 Corinthians 3:16. That'll be the verse, what I would say if I were dad over the next week. Do you not know? 1 Corinthians 3:16. You should. All right. And if you all know that next week, then I will have done my job. Our second verse for the week is Romans 14:17. Let's go ahead and turn there. The tagline for this is the Holy Spirit brings joy. Romans 14:17. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 3:16 was lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Do you not know that? Romans 14:17, though, is the Holy Spirit brings joy. Again, reading from the NASB. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And to get context from what's going on here in Romans 14, there are believers tearing each other apart about whether they're eating or whether they're drinking. Whether it's clean, whether it's unclean, and tearing one another down, condemning each other for it. And it says here that that's not important. The kingdom of God is not wrapped up in eating and drinking. Those are minor details. Those are gray areas that are not important to the kingdom of God. What we do need to focus on is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So keep your priorities straight and focus on what needs to be focused on. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Another thing that might help you to remember this, helps me, is that you have two things that it mentioned it is not. Not eating, not drinking. There's three things that is mentioned that it is: righteousness, peace, and joy. And this happens in many different verses where the Bible will say something that is negative, and then it will say more things that are positive. I think of, there's one in 1 Timothy, one in 2 Timothy, where it says, flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. It'll say, flee one thing, pursue four. In this case, it's not these two things, it's these three things. Not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It just helps us to keep our perspective right, which as we are learning the words, we are focusing on the word, meditating on the word, but as ideally where our focus should be is on the things that God would have us to have it on. So we have our minds renewed and have the mind of Christ. This may be a record short class, but I have an excuse because Dad never goes a full hour anyway. Chris, I'm going to make you do it. Can you recite all 20 verses for us? Or we could do every other. You say one, I'll say one. All right. I wonder what people think when there's long gaps of silence, because you're not on the microphone. So anyone listening to the MP3, you just heard, 2 minutes of silence. That's part of why I don't want to have to say it right now. It's recorded and everyone in the world will know. I've so far not said anything Russian on recording, and I'm terrified that my pronunciation will be terrible. Guess I'll find that out in a month. Yeah, so would anyone else like to say a verse, any of the verses we've learned? Or start calling on people? I said you have to all recite 4, right? We have a volunteer here? Okay, well, I guess this will be the record shortest class. I'll go ahead and close us in prayer then. Dear Father, I do thank you for your word. Just thank you for each of these brothers and sisters I have here, and for the verses we get to memorize, and Just thank you that you allow us to learn your word. We are allowed to know you, that we are allowed to learn more about you. And you're not a God who is far off, that we can't know, that is a mystery. But you are nearby and knowable. And you have freely given us so many things. And not only have you freely given it to us, you've freely given us salvation and freely given us the Holy Spirit so we can understand all the things that you have freely given to us. So thank you for these verses. Pray you would help us to hide them in our heart. We would remember them not just to get prizes or to be proud of ourselves, but that we would do it because it is glorifying to you and pleasing in your sight. Thank you for these things. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.